The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
It is. Welcome to another final hooter on Radio General and loverubbly.com. David, another end of a month has gone by in the UK. Another two rounds of Super League and Championship has gone by us as well.
Yeah, it's all starting to hot up really, isn't it? In both competitions.
Not even mentioning the weather, but yeah, the action's hotting up even hotter than what the weather is.
The weather's been great, actually. I mean, we've seen plenty of points on order, haven't we, because of the heat and the fatigue factor.
It's been great for the fans, in terms of being able to turn up in your shorts and your T-shirt and your flip-flops.
I'm wondering if it's been great for numbers, though, generally.
Players. Players wouldn't have enjoyed that heat, surely not.
Well, I'm thinking of it for the numbers of fans as well, because the actual numbers coming through the gate seem to be a little bit down this month.
And maybe everyone's on holiday.
They could be.
On their jollies.
Yeah, Catalan Dragons crowds are up. So maybe that's where it is. Maybe everybody's headed over to the south of France.
Everyone's gone to the south of France on holiday rather than going to Wigan or even Hull.
And I don't know why. I mean, there's plenty to see and do in Hull.
There's a beach in Hull, I think, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
You've got Wigan Pier.
That's a pub.
You've got Wigan Pier you can go to.
Well, yeah, you could go to it. You won't ever get very far, but you can go to it.
I think at this time of the year, you know why they're on about doing the big bash in Blackpool for next year?
Yeah, that's in that's in May, though, that, isn't it?
Can we not put a request in for this new era of Super League in the months of, like, say, back into July, August, when the weather's nice? Can we just play all the games in Blackpool and Southport and maybe Scarborough?
Well, that'd be good for rugby league expansion. I mean, Scarborough had a team, didn't they, many moons ago? They were in it for a season.
Can
and
we
then
just have a month for games at different resorts?
On tour with rugby league. Take your bucket and spade, eh?
Yeah.
Mind you, they're always digging themselves in a big hole anyway, aren't they, the rugby league? So maybe the bucket and spade won't be needed.
Okay, then it's time for the bad, the good and the ugly of rugby league. Here we go with the bad, eh? The news reaching us about Chris Tewson, who has sadly had to retire due to a long-term shoulder injury at the age of 26. It's never a good time having to retire, but at that age, it must be a hard decision to make.
No, and I think the last player that had to retire because of persistent injuries at such a young age was actually Tim Yonkers. Remember him? Played for St. Helens and ended up going to Wigan for a short stint. Chris Tewson, decent player as well. He'll be a big loss, particularly for Hull. And, you know, we wish him all the best for the rest of his life, really, you know, because I suppose when you do play this sport, you put yourself under all kinds of stresses and strains. Your body sometimes can't take it, and I think that he's done the right thing if he's taken medical advice and they've advised him not to play, because I tell you what, it's getting tougher, isn't it?
Do you like what I did? I reshuffled the subjects around rather than just going with the good, the bad and the ugly. I've gone with the bad first.
Is that because we got a writ last time we mentioned the good, the bad and the ugly? Oh, I've done it again.
Exactly. So we're going to swap it round just to confuse everybody, shall we? But yeah, never a good time to retire, is it? I know Andy Rowley's announced his retirement, and players do get too old to play rugby league. I know everyone would like to play until they're 66, but you can't, unfortunately. It's all for the young'uns, is rugby league.
He can with Masters rugby league. Maybe we'll see him appear on the Masters scene, you never know.
But when your body gives way to the fact you're too old, well, you'd accept it. But when it's enforced like that, it's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? I'm sure Chris Tewson won't be the last player to have to retire early.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, we've seen it with another player this season, haven't we? With Gleeson, who had to retire, you know, due to the injuries that he sustained in an off-field attack, which, you know, could really go in as an ugly, couldn't it? Because it was a horrible, horrible incident. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, Chris has got his head screwed on and he knows what he's going to do next, and hopefully he can, you know, make that so and maybe even stay within the game.
Sticking with the bad, stick with injuries as well, where we know injuries are part and parcel of the game that we all know and love, but unfortunately the injuries suffered by Luke Walsh in the game against Widnes, well, that was certainly a bad one, and we wish him a speedy recovery.
Aren't you a barrel of laughs tonight?
Depressing.
It's horrible news. I mean, that was a bad injury for Luke Walsh, and he's been a key player for St. Helens, and at the moment they seem to be down to the last couple of halfbacks, don't they, at the club.
Get your boots on, Parky. You used to be a halfback in school.
You never know. Yeah, I used to be able to pass it, but unfortunately I was all left sided, so, you know, I'm sure that St. Helens don't need just a left sided player. I'm sure they'll want
someone with a more all round game.
I'm alright on the left side. I'm left out.
Oh well. Nathan Brown won't be ringing you then.
No, probably not. But okay. I can maybe suggest a couple of halfbacks for him. You know, if he listens to us, you never know.
Yeah, sadly, Luke Watch, he's going to be missing 5 months. So Saints are doing it tough on the injury front this season, aren't they?
It's a heck of an injury, that, isn't it?
Certainly around the halfbacks as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So if you're a halfback, you think about going to St. Helens, don't go there.
The rumour is...
You might be injured next year.
The rumour is that John Wilkins going to be done for the season, isn't he? And then Lance Hayer's out for a long term as well, so...
Johnny Lomax is out, so
Johnny Lomax,
not looking
good. Yeah, it's looking like they might end up having to give Shannon McDonnell an opportunity. He signed for them earlier in the season from Hull. He's been playing a bit of championship rugby for Rochdale Hornets. And, well, you never know, we might end up seeing Paul Wellens having to move back into the halves again. He started off there, didn't he?
Should we lighten it up and go with the good rather than the ugly?
Go on then.
Okay, then. In the good, the RFL's announcements regarding the plans for a new era of Super League. May look complex, but my word, it looks exciting.
Hang on, can we rephrase that? It's not a new era for Super League, it's a new era for Rugby League.
Okay, then.
Because
yes.
for once...
Family comes together.
I know, I'm going to actually praise the Rugby League, so I'm hoping that I don't have to pick you up out of your chair, you know, and you don't end up collapsing on me here. But I definitely want to applaud the Rugby League here, because it's opened up the game. If you're a club... You can see a route way to the top. You can see something positive could happen for you. If you're an owner or you're someone with a bit of money and a bit of clout and you're wanting to get involved in Rugby League, now's the best time to do it. You can see a side getting into Super League. There's a structure there. I'm really excited for it. I know that I was asked on another radio station on Friday, was it a good thing for Rugby League? Of course it's a good thing for Rugby League. What it means is that more clubs are within a chance of getting to the Super League, of getting promoted. It's going to bring on much better games. You know, the fact that we're going to be heading into this sort of playoff division,
in
the middle.
I like Blake Solly's strapline. It was every minute's going to count.
And that's what it's all about, because with all due respect to the Super League era, it hasn't been that way, has it, for a long, long time. You know, I mean, half the sides in it. You know, I mean, for example, if we were to look at it now, this season, what have Salford got to play for now?
Nothing.
You know, okay, Bradford and London, they're down. So what have Hull got to play for this season?
Well, they're hoping to make the top eight, but other than that, not a lot.
But you get my point. So every minute doesn't really matter at this point of this season. Next year is going to count, because there's going to be something to play for all the time, be it if you're after a top eight place in Super League with a chance of getting to the grand final, if you end up in the relegation mire and heading into the mixer division, if you're a top four championship club, you've got a chance against those clubs to really set it up. And then we've got quite an exciting 14 team competition beneath that, haven't we, where we've got the likes of Coventry making the debut, and I just think it's a real good time for Rugby League to evolve. And they've got to grasp the nettle now, they've got to grasp bit, they've got to run with it too, because so often in our sport they've changed things around, haven't they, after like a season and a half or something like that. They need to run with this for about 5 years until you actually will see
whether
or not it's a good thing.
Well,
not particularly until we get fed up, although you never know with the Rugby League in where it's concerned. But I'm a big believer in this structure. I'm a big believer in you know, injecting hope where there wasn't any, to be honest.
I like the new format of the playoffs. I think top four is just about right. I think going to top eight, it made it a long winding road to the grand final, whereas this, it's more precise.
Yeah,
you know what you have to do.
You know what I'm even more pleased about? They've dropkick club calling to a touch.
Oh, thank heavens for that.
We've still got to put up with it this year, Adrian, yeah. So don't get overexcited.
I know,
yet
I'm not.
But from next year, like you mentioned, it's simple. It's 1v4, 2v3, winners to the grand final.
Feel-good fact that continued regarding Rugby League, as well as the RFL released reports that suggest that more people than ever are either watching Rugby League or playing it. So slowly, the message is getting out there, and it's certainly getting out there away from the heartlands.
Yeah, it is. I was privy to an email got sent my way in the week, which suggested that the latest Play Touch Rugby League, which is the non-contact version of the sport, is starting to really take off in Kent. Now, at the moment, they're in the process of trying to get this Play Touch Rugby League around and about a little bit more, which is driving up participation. It's all about getting involved. It's all about getting your mates involved. In fact, I think me and you should go along to one of these, to be honest. And there is one in Lee next week.
Did they have an OAP one?
Well, you wouldn't need that, yeah.
I think it would.
I mean,
my knees are shot up. They're gone.
I probably wouldn't catch an OAP, you know, but... But again, this is another really positive thing. And it is nice to sort of read this positive press, isn't it? Because so often, as rugby league fans, we're probably a little bit too down on our sport, aren't we?
Right, well, one question before I decide whether to go or not.
Okay.
Do you get a pie after the match?
I will get you a pie after the match.
Right, I'm going.
Okay.
Put my name down.
Right, okay.
That's the deal done and dusted. You hear it here, folks.
That's play touch rugby league for you. We're going.
Who needs money in your contract? Just pies. That'll do. Okay, let's bring the black clouds and go to the ugly, shall we? Under the new plans that sound exciting for rugby league, for the new era. Unfortunately, the Challenge Cup for me gets an unnecessary revamp with the Super League top 8 coming in around later than what they would do. For me, by seeding the top teams, it kills the romance of the cup and it makes it impossible for the smaller clubs to get that big payday.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it in this season, Lee Centurions did incredibly well.
Harder, not impossible.
But Lee Centurions did incredibly well to get through to the quarterfinals. There was also Keithley Cougars involved in that. And a host of other clubs who haven't been in that position for years. You know, I'm thinking of that this year we could be seeing, for example, Castleford. Yeah, Widnes, who haven't been there for years upon years upon years. That's the beauty of the Challenge Cup. Why they've needed to tinker with it, I have no idea. And again, this is something that I'm against, because I don't like seeding. I don't like seeding in competitions. I think that it should be an open draw. It's what the beauty of the competition is. Yes, probably 9 times out of 10 it'll end up with those top clubs at the playing off in the big games anyway, won't it? But you can't really take away that. And while they've given everybody a hope from the league structure, they've kind of like chopped the legs off a little bit, haven't they?
Listen to the big clubs, they've fallen under the pressure of the big clubs who weren't happy about drawing against each other this year, were they?
That appears to be what they've done, you know. I think that they should be looking at reinvigorating the Challenge Cup another way.
Talk about making it easier for the big clubs. So basically, under the plans next year, for example, a Wigan or a Leeds or a Warrington could only have to play 3 matches to get to Wembley.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Easy avenue or what?
Easy street. Mind you, they might end up playing against these bigger clubs anyway, you know. But again, when they're coming in, they're going to be taking the bulk of the prize money as well, aren't they? It's another thing.
Which is
very much in favour of the top clubs in our sport. Now, you might say, these clubs deserve it. They produce the most youngsters, etc., etc. But please, stop tinkering about with our chosen, the great Challenge Cup.
We've only got one knockout cup.
It's the envy of Australia, isn't it? Because they haven't got anything like it. You know, and why are we tinkering with it? No idea.
Well, we'll ask Blake Solly if we ever get him on. We can ask him, why is he doing it? We'll give him a Chinese burn. Get the answer out of him. No, we won't. We're joking. But it'll be interesting to see how that pans out from next year. It might be a good idea. We won't know until it's in practice, will we?
Yeah, I suppose it's like I was saying with the league structure, isn't it? Maybe they're going to stick with it for 5 years and suck it and see, as they say.
Final ugly from the World of Rugby League this week, over the last 2 weeks or so. Despite the win by Workington in the last round of the Championship over North Wales Crusaders, get this, the coach, Phil Vivas, described it as atrocious. It's a harsh comment to be making after you just witness your team winning the match.
Yeah, and especially when you judge the amount of miles that Workington do when they go on
the
road as well. And
must have left Workington at least 6 o'clock in the morning to get to Wrexham.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, they're on the charge at the moment. I mean, looking at the Championship table, they're currently sitting in sort of ninth, eighth spot at the moment. So they're doing really well, Workington. And you know, this is what the full quote was as well, just out of interest. He said, "We were atrocious. It's as simple as that. As I said to the players, it may be a godsend that we put in that performance today and not on another night. We were thieves in the night. We came here and we robbed 3 points, really." I mean, that's stern stuff, isn't it? And really, sometimes...
The Cumbrian Highwaymen, is that what they call them,
right? Hey, maybe that's the Super League franchise, which will come out in the next 6 years or so. You never know.
I'm giving them ideas already. Maybe I should get a job with the RFL.
I thought you already did.
No.
I thought this was just moonlighting.
Give it away. Yeah, so it just goes to show your coaches, even if their team win, they're hard to please, aren't they?
Definitely, yeah. That's probably what makes them coaches, though, isn't
it? He'd be flogging them in training this week.
You can imagine it, can't you? You know, it's like, right, I don't care if you've just signed a new contract, I'm going to be flogging you.
He'll have them running up the Workington Hills.
And I tell you, there's some hills around there, isn't there?
Certainly is. Let's talk about the action, shall we? That was the good, the bad, and the ugly done a different way for this final heater. But let's talk about the action round 21 and round 22 of Super League, shall we? In round 21, the world wins for Kassan Dragons over Wakefield, Huddersfield sitting off Bradford Bulls, Suffolk Red Devils defeated Hull Kingston Rovers, there was a draw between Leeds and Castleford, there was a win for St Helens over London Broncos, there was a surprise victory for Widnes over Warrington Wolves, and Wigan thrashed Hull FC.
Two games stand out there for me, Adrian. The draw, first of all, between Castleford and Leeds, which I thought was an absolute stonking game, wasn't it? And I even saw the great Sir Kevin Sinfield sent off.
Oh, wow. What was he thinking?
Wow. You know, he just lost it, didn't he? And poor Luke Dawn, he had to rub his forehead and get on with it.
But the thing is, because he mouthed everything clearly, you don't have to repeat what he said, because everyone could see what he said to Luke Dawn.
Yeah.
He wasn't offering a drink in the bar after the game, was he?
No, sadly not. I wonder whether he did later on, though, you know, as a bit of a make-up.
Although it did, like, be Jim Mills's response to this sending off for Kevin Sinfield. He's never seen a man sent off for kissing a man in a game.
Hey, and there's a man who knows plenty about getting red cards, isn't it? You know, big Jim Mills,
yeah,
during his time with Widnes.
So even though he's classing it as a headbutt, he's just saying, oh, he kissed him.
It's not like the headbutts of old, is it?
Not at all, no.
The other game that stands out is the last one you mentioned between, you know, Widnes and Warrington. I thought that they were tremendous, Widnes, in this game. If only they could find that level of form every single week, they'd be a top four side, wouldn't they, Widnes? I thought they were brilliant in every facet of the game.
Didn't back up in round 22 against St Helens, but a big victory for Widnes that one was. It kept them in the top eight shake-up. As for Warrington, they went there with a 10-match unbeaten run on the line, and they just never got going, did they?
No, and they were outplayed by a really good Widnes side that on the day had a couple of outstanding players. Hep Cahill led the pack around the field, didn't he, after some eyebrows were raised in the press benches about his inclusion as a prop forward. And also, I thought it was a particularly good performance as well for Kevin Brown, who must be knocking on England door.
The victory for Huddersfield against Bradford Bulls meant that Bradford were confirmed to be relegated, ending your 40-year stay in the top flight of Rugby League.
Yeah.
It was on the cards, wasn't it?
It was. It's been on the cards since the very first game of the season, and the fact that, you know, they ended up in a bit of financial strife again and have been trying to recover ever since. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you look at sporting dynasties, they've got to come to an end, they've got to try and rebuild, haven't they? And Bradford will enter this rebuilding phase and will probably start next season as favourites for the Championship title, won't they?
They certainly will, and it's good to see they are building for the future, and they've seen sense and not going to challenge the decision to uphold the points deduction.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was another ugly which we've discussed over the course of the season, isn't it? You know, and this ever interesting, shall I say, soap opera that's been coming out of Oddsall Stadium all the way through the year. But I'm hoping that it settles down now and that they can now sign some of the good young players that they've still got that are starting to emerge through this squad, who probably just need that little step back. I mean, you must remember that Huddersfield, for example, they had to step back into the Championship, didn't they? They got relegated, and now look where they are. You know, they're challenging, they're a top eight side every single year, and it just shows that with a lot of hard work and a bit of fortune, it can go a long way.
Certainly is a road back for both Bradford and London Broncos if they achieve it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, London's made some interesting signings as well. A lot of Antipodean players who are coming over on European passports. How are they going to go? I mean, you know, the Championship itself is a tough competition, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But, yeah, there is that pathway back, isn't there? It's not like they're falling off the edge of the cliff and going into oblivion like a lot of people talk about from Super League. There is actually rugby that gets played outside of the Super League.
Certainly is. We mentioned the Widnes Warrington game. Let's get some player reaction. One player who would have really enjoyed it, former Wolves, playing for the Widnes Vikings and the captain, it's John Clark. John Clark, after many years at Warrington, now you're at Widnes. How sweet was that victory for you guys and yourself tonight?
From a team point of view, it's, you know, it's good. We needed it. We've been improving for the last couple of weeks, but we've just not been on the wrong side of the results. So, yeah, to do that to a team like Warrington's, you know, satisfying.
big effort in defence and on attack as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, our defence was really good last week. You know, to go to Wakefield and, you know, let them put 12 points in, you know, and to be honest, their two tries were nothing really last week. So our defence was good last week, so we wanted to build on that. And yeah, our defence was pretty strong all night, to be fair.
Do you think that was the difference to defence?
Yeah, definitely. We put a real big emphasis on defence over the last 3 weeks because we knew we were leaking too many points. So, excuse me, we've just tweaked a few things in training. And, you know, they seem to be working for us at the minute.
Quite warm out there, so how demanding on the body was that?
Ridiculous. For that first 20 minutes is the fastest 20 minutes I've played for a long time. So, yeah, it was a tough game. And, you know, I think both sets of forwards are feeling it. You know, it was there was some tired bodies in the middle.
That was the right time to score. It was before the half-time, Houston. That's exactly what Widnes did.
Yeah, we did. You know, we just took a little bit of pressure off and just applied a little bit more to them just before half-time. So, yeah, you know, great finish by Paddy Flynn. Yeah, you know, it took some finishing. That's what you want your wingers to do, to score them tough tries, and he did that.
I just knew Warrington were going to come back at Widnes, so you had to really hold your nerve and hit them back.
We did, of course. They're going to come back. You know, they're going to get periods in the game where they attack well and that, you know, the quality side. So we knew that, and we just knew we needed to hold strong. And luckily, we sort of hit back with a try of our own as well. So, and to be honest, that Steph Marsh try, that was a try as well. So,
fingers crossed, this could be the springboard now for Widnes to kick on.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I think we played all right last few weeks. We've just been not on the wrong side. I think this was a result of a good few weeks' hard work.
Again, like I said, because of your time at Warrington, could we potentially be the last game against Warrington, so you must have enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, if you go out and you know, if that's my last game against Warrington, so be it. So, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the club, a lot of respect for the players on their team, and you know, and in particular, a lot of respect for their head coach. So, I've got some great friends. I live in Warrington, so, you know, I'll never badmouth them. I played too many years there. You know, I've got ultimate respect for them, but, you know, on the other side of that, it is always nice to get one over on your old club, so.
Get online with Radio General.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Radio General Online has information about the station's presenters, along with our current programme schedule and details of how to make requests for patients in Warrington Hospital. There's also plenty of background information about Radio General, including our long history of broadcasting in Warrington.
Radio General Online.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Tell you what, Parker, we just heard from John Clark, and no wonder you don't want them mouth Warrington. He still lives there.
See, yeah, you don't want to say anything,
don't
do you?
Don't be getting egged and everyone playing knock a door run.
I'm sure nobody will do that. You know, he was a very, very good player, wasn't he, John Clark, for Warrington over a good number of years, and still fondly remembered, I think, by a lot of Warringtonians.
Certainly was. Unfortunately for Widnes, they couldn't back up in round 22, losing heavily to St Helens.
Yeah, and I suppose they found Mossy Masai, didn't they, in some...
The mountain.
Stupendous form. I mean, he scored one try where he ran onto it from about 30 metres. I'm sure if the stand hadn't been there, he would have carried on running to Windle, wouldn't he? But it was just one of those awesome blockbusting tries that you see every so often, and they couldn't contain the size of that St Helens pack.
I remember interviewing Mossy Masai during the Rugby World Cup when they announced he was coming to St Helens, and I shook his hand and my hand disappeared. It's like, where's he gone? Oh, yeah. It's back again.
He's a huge man.
Once he let go. Yeah.
He's a huge man. And the way that he's gone about his business since recovering from his injury, he's become a really key player, whether it be off the bench or starting for St Helens, hasn't he?
Other winners from round 22 stand out for you?
Other winners were Bradford against Wigan, which is an outstanding result for Bradford, to be honest. Hull and Castleford played out an 18-all draw. Hull Kingston Rovers defeated London in London. Leeds Rhinos edged Salford Red Devils, and Wakefield defeated Warrington.
Certainly getting closer, aren't they, and the Red Devils. They went into that game on the back of three straight victories. They were hoping to have defeated the Rhinos, but the Rhinos just showing everybody that they've got the team when it matters to get the points.
Yeah, I thought that Salford played pretty well in that game, to be honest. And it did take a good finish from Leeds to get the points in that one. And yeah, they're starting to get to that stage of the season where you can never discount Leeds, and they start to bring everything together. And, you know, after people keep questioning Leeds and whether they can maintain being one of the top clubs. After all, their players seem to be getting a year older and a year older and a year older. They just keep answering all the questions, and yeah, they're a really good side.
get the impression Widnes must have softened Warrington up because he couldn't respond to Wakefield as well.
Again, an outstanding performance from Wakefield. That,
performance of the week.
Oh, I thought without doubt. I actually think that, considering last time that we spoke, he was maybe tipping Warrington to get back to winning ways, and I just get the feeling that, you know, he started something there, hasn't he, James Webster? And he certainly settled into that coaching role.
Certainly has, and he's not as big as Mossimo, so, because his hand disappeared inside my hand when I shook his hand after the game.
So it was the famous big man, little man, was it? But, I mean,
exactly.
he was a really smart player, wasn't he, during his playing days, James Webster? And also, as well, if you look at kind of what he's been doing and what he's achieved, is it, what, 5 wins from 6 games in charge of Wakefield so far? I mean, that's playoff form, isn't it?
Now, just St Helens might be on top of the division, but they would have been disappointed to consider those 22 points to Widnes. But for Huddersfield Giants, they seem to be getting better themselves, and maybe they could be the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, as we've already spoken about St Helens, the fact that they've lost the main playmaker and they've got some problems in that area could come back to bite them. Defensively, they were a little bit shaky at times, and that's not taking anything away from Widnes. They scored some fantastic tries. I mean, Stephen Marsh, when he went 80 metres, I mean, that was, for me, one of the most exciting runs of the season that led to a try from him. But, yeah, for Huddersfield Giants, they've been on the improve, haven't they? And they're a completely different side when Danny Brough plays.
Certainly is, and James Lowes would have been punching the air with delight having watched his Bradford team defeat the Warriors. Sean Wayne, he'd have been fizzing coming back home.
Yeah, talk about contrasting emotions.
Never mind
there.
Flogging him in training, he'd had him running over the Pennines home. Never mind getting on the coach.
He was probably having him pushing the bus home, you know, having said that. That's your punishment, lads. But, you know, I've been really critical of Bradford this season, and you know, when you look at the team,
I suppose that the pressure's off so they can relax a bit more, and maybe that's where it's come from.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that is the way it goes, isn't it? But you look at Bradford, they've got the second worst defence in Super League, they've got the second worst attack in Super League, so they're the second worst team without a doubt. But yet they were able to turn the table somewhat and defeat a Wigan side which is chasing top of the table.
Wigan would have walked off that field very slowly. I would have anyway. In fact, I'd have tried to go out the exits with the fans. Wouldn't have gone back in the dressing room. Imagine going in there and having to face Sean Wayne going, sorry, boss.
It must be hard enough having to face him after a win, never mind after a loss. But, I mean,
fearsome.
Dominic Manfredi was perhaps the best player on the day, scored a couple of tries. And, you know, there is a bit of hope there for Wigan, and it's not all doom and gloom.
Not
you can
at
always
all.
Look at picking it up again, can't they? While we mentioned Bradford on the rebuild.
That's something they won't be able to do next year, will they? Pick things up because, like, being told every minute's going to count.
Every minute does count, yeah, and it will count for next season.
Okay, we've heard from John Clark. Let's step into coach's corner. It's the big man and little man combination today. It's Anderson and Webster.
I suppose you just started to settle in a little bit now. You know, people ask you, and you'd probably say your old role. It came so quickly, but yeah, it's an enjoyable job. Obviously, I'm very lucky to be able to have the job. You know, the club's been very supportive of me, and my players keep backing up with good performances. So it's been a good start for me.
You know, you came up with a cracking performance tonight, and I suppose a day like today makes the job even better.
Oh, you know, coming to places like Warrington, you always know it's going to be a hard day. I don't think Wakefield have beaten Warrington for something like 9 years, someone said today. So, yeah, it's pleasing. The boys played really well. We had limited opportunities today. Warrington had a lot more ball than us, but when we had the ball, we were able to come up with the right play. So, really proud of what we did.
After losing heavily away to in France, it must have been pleasing to get back on the winning road here today.
Yeah, we knew what we did wrong in France. We struggled with the physicality of the Catalan side. That's no different than 90% of other teams have over the last couple of years. So we knew that, you know, if we could handle Warrington physically, which is a tough ask, we'll give ourselves a chance. And why at times today, you know, they split us and they caused you trouble. We were able to get back in numbers and you know, probably hold them out. So yeah, we learnt from last week, and the areas that we were poor last week, we were better at.
When Warrington got off that flying start, what was going through your mind?
Well, it was so quick, I missed it. I was still working my headsets out, and I asked everyone around me what happened, and no one saw it. So, you know, I felt it was really like saying, "Oh, come, we'll give you a 4-point start," like you're playing in the back garden, and you say, "Oh, you can start 4 points up." But yeah, you know, sometimes I've seen teams start like that, and you know, it doesn't work well for them. Whether that was the case today, I'm not sure, but not an ideal start, but one that you know, we had to just suck it up and get on with it.
Credit to Wakefield, they really regrouped and came up with the tries when it mattered.
Yeah, I said we only had limited possession on their try line, but today when we had, you know, possession on the try line, we were able to come up with points. That's something we've struggled with over the last 6 weeks. Even though we've won, we've really struggled to come up with the right place. But today, Tim Smith and all our team, we worked hard during the week and we came up with some great tries.
Tremendous rear guard action that really got the game won for you.
Yeah, you know, we seem to be able to counter-attack every time we're under the pump. We seem to be able to come up with a play through someone in backfield to give us some field position or, you know, a special play from one player. And it definitely wasn't through penalties because we couldn't get one. We were on the back of a hammering in penalties, and to be able to progress the ball down the field was a good effort. So, you know, it keeps the season alive for everyone and makes it interesting.
Great team effort, Brew. Is this standout performer in your eyes for Wakefield?
Oh, yeah, I think I had plenty. I thought Andy Raleigh did a really good job in the middle for us. Obviously, all our edge players did a good job. Defending Chris Riley did a good job against, obviously, his parent club. It was a team effort today. Tim Smith came up some really good plays with us, but I couldn't say anyone didn't play well for us today.
Everyone's going to be saying now, wait for them making a charge for the top eight. Can you get there?
We have to win 4 or 5. We've still got to go to Saints away. I've got Huddersfield next week. If we can get a win at Huddersfield, then it becomes believable. That's a win. It's a cliche to take one game at a time, but when you got to win 4 out of 5 games, every game is a must-win game. You're allowed probably one slip up, but you don't want that to be straight away, do you? So, you know, if we can get over Huddersfield and other results fly our way, we're a chance.
Here is Paul Anderson. I spoke to him live after the game yesterday here on Radio Yorkshire.
You said during the week, you know, you've got to start winning again. You've got the win today. What were your thoughts on the performance?
Okay. To score 50-odd points, obviously pleasing. To concede 20-odd is very, very disappointing.
And is that what it's about now? The last few weeks, your form, it's not quite been there. Are you looking at it today, and obviously you'll review it all over the week, but are you looking at it today and thinking there was one key thing that you didn't do right that led to that?
No. We talked at half-time about the small parts of our game, the small details that we know everybody needs to improve on, and the amount of errors we made in regards to in collision and things like that, we just weren't good enough, and we've... The disappointing thing is, it'd be easy for me to turn around and say if it was one person or one player that was constantly making mistakes, because that's easy to fix, isn't it? But when it's across the board, it's a decision we have to make collectively, and basically, prerequisite of the game is when you run through a tackle, you've got to make sure you come out the other end with the ball, and that's not what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, a few errors there. Just ask you about Akuma Tai. I thought he played quite well out wide today.
Yeah, he did okay.
Danny Brough back. He came off at the end. Was that a precaution, you bringing him off the game?
He made a bit of a breakdown in this left-hand corner, and the tackle, obviously, from the other week when he had his head taken off, he hurt his ankle, and obviously it's still an issue there. And we made a bit of an half break, and he got tackled by the ankles and got rolled a little bit, and obviously he just felt a little pinch, so 5 minutes to go, just get him out of there.
So he'll be all right for next weekend?
Yeah, he should be fine.
Catalan at home next weekend. What are your thoughts ahead of that one?
Well, we played in Perpignan weather today, didn't we? So we should be ready for that. So they've got some challenges, and I say the key for me is we've just got to focus on ourselves and make sure that we improve, because that's definitely something we have to do.
Sure, it did improve.
I suppose it just started settling a little bit.
They were in James Rapsford again.
Yeah, they did improve, and probably had to cope with some of that Catalan-like weather again, didn't they, at the weekend? But, and they're a funny side, aren't they, Huddersfield, this year?
I think he likes the word OK.
OK, yeah, it's an OK.
It was okay.
In fact, we could do that. In fact, what would be interesting is I remember an interview that you once conducted with a certain Dennis Betts where he was also...
I'm doing it now.
So you're doing it now. It was also another very brief interview and a brief description, wasn't it, of the performance? Because you just went, yeah, right, okay.
I like your interview. I like your Dennis Betts.
You're right, yeah. I've been practising it.
I've been practising it. I'm sure Dennis would be impressed with that.
You reckon he would?
Yeah.
Do you think he really would? Shall I, you know, next time I see him?
Yeah, do it.
You reckon?
I dare you. I double dare you.
He might line me up and have the witness forwards running at me. I'm not sure I want that.
Yeah, if it's Phil Joseph, hide and run.
definitely.
Okay, let's talk championship, shall we? Reached round 20 and round 21. The winners from round 20 seen Sheffield get back to winning ways on the road, mind you. They can't seem to buy a win at home, but certainly defeated Barrow rather easily in round 20. There was a close win for Doncaster against Swinton. There was wins for Featherston over Bradford. Halifax are too strong for Whitehaven. Lee were definitely too strong for Keighley. Dewsbury Rams were pushed all the way by the North Wales Crusaders. And Workington defeated Rochdale Hornets. I wonder if Phil Reaver said that one was atrocious.
Well, I think he was a bit happier with that performance, to be honest. But did you say that Featherston played against Bradford then? I mean, that's next year. You know, that's going to be
a top... No, I said Batley, didn't I?
No, I'm sure you said
Let's
Bradford.
Let's rewind and say Batley.
But I mean, that was one heck of a performance from Featherston on that day as well, because they beat Batley 52-6, and you know, that just shows that they're still a good side, Featherston, not to be discounted. Round 21 saw wins for Dewsbury, for Keighley over Doncaster, for Workington over North Wales Crusaders. We've already spoken about that one. Lee Centurions put 70 points on Rochdale Hornets.
Just a 70, is that all?
72-22 it was.
Okay.
Sheffield lost at home.
You no chance of Rochdale that. Getting a bonus point there then.
No, not quite. Not quite. Sheffield lost at home again, this time against Batley, who got back to winning.
Bizarre
ways.
How Sheffield are so good away but just can't seem to do it at home.
Yeah, looking at how they've gone this season, I think they've won 3-4 games at home all year, and the other 6 games that they've won on the road. So
still not out of danger, are they? They're only a couple of points ahead of the relegation battle that's happening below them.
That's true, you know, and at the moment, unfortunately, due to their loss against Featherston Rovers, Whitehaven have taken over that 5th relegation spot. There was also a win for Halifax as well, putting a lot of points on Swinton Lions. And I want to give a mention here to my mate Mick Nannin. Okay, not because he's ended up on the winning side or anything like that, but his 5 goals at the weekend have taken him within 6 points of the top 6 point scorers of all time in rugby league.
Wow, that's a record and a half, isn't it?
You know, so I'm hoping that he can do it over the course of the season, and you never know, maybe we'll have him in.
Fair to say, Lee Centurions are romping it at the top. Just that one defeat, that's a blemish for them, but it looks like they're going to finish top of the pile.
It certainly does, yeah. I think they've only got to win another 6 points and then they're secure in top spot. So, you know, with several games remaining, it looks like they're going to be favourite to do that. And just a quick word here for Martin Ridyard, because he was named the Championship Player of the Week in this particular round. He was outstanding. I mean, he laid on something like 7 of the Centurions' 12 tries and kicked all 12 goals out of 12 attempts, and there were some hefty ones from the you know, from the wings as well.
It's all about relegation in the Championship because of the 5 clubs. Now, we know Barrow are gone. Rochdale, fair to say, they've gone as well, despite them still having a chance. Swinton are there with them. Yeah. North Wales look doomed. Who else is going to go with them?
Tell you what, it's very, very close, isn't it? Because, I mean, you look at the current table, Whitehaven have 34 points, and Batley Bulldogs, who are currently sitting in, what, 6th position? So, within playoff territory, they have 38 points. Oh. So, you've just got 4 points, sorry, separating and all the 4 clubs there, and there's a relegation battle.
That's really, as tight as you at a bar, honestly.
It's, yeah, you've seen me. No, I'm actually quick moving at a bar, but it's usually away from it, you know, but... yeah, it's going to be a fascinating battle as the time ticks down, and it certainly is starting to run out of games, isn't it? And it's been an exciting Championship competition because bar Lee Centurions up at the top, everybody else has been able to beat everybody else, and that's been the beauty of the competition.
Championship one, we're up to round 19, but in round 18 there were wins for Gateshead Thunder against Gloucestershire Orgolds. Hebble Stags were too strong for the Scorpions, and York Knights, City Knights were too strong for the so-called promotion rivals.
Gateshead have had a bit of form as well, because in round 19 they beat Oxford 48-28, and for me, they're playing some really exciting stuff at the moment, scoring lots of long range tries. They've got some pretty quick
players
there.
It's hard to accept when you're describing it. Gates are there scoring some outstanding long range tries. It's normally they concede in them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've been the whipping boys, haven't they? Yeah, they have, with only a couple of seasons of respite from that, where they got into the Championship and did pretty well, to be honest, but ended up taking a step out of it after they'd overspent a little bit. But for me, round 19 was all about a clash between two clubs. It was Oldham against Hunslet. Now, if you look at the table, Oldham second, Hunslet third,
something had to give in this game, didn't it? And Oldham won against Hunslet. 24 points to 23 with a try just 3 minutes from the end of play.
York City tonight certainly giving themselves some daylight between them and Oldham and Hunslet, aren't they?
They are. I mean, York were outstanding the previous week, weren't they, around 18, because they ran the cleaners through Oldham, to be honest. And then maybe the other game that we haven't mentioned yet, South Wales taking the game on the road, playing at Cardiff Arms Park. Yes, that place next to the Millennium Stadium. 486 people saw them defeat London Scholars 1918, so maybe that's the way to go for South Wales Scorpions.
Yeah, play at the Cardiff Arms Park, it'll inspire them to more victories.
I hope so. I mean, it's a cracking venue, that, isn't it? Lovely little ground, traditional. You know, it's right in the centre of the city as well, so, you know, you're never that far away from a bar or a pie shop in your case.
Great, a Welsh pie. I've never had one of those.
Yeah, we'll have to arrange
a Welsh cake.
We'll have to arrange a go-to, won't we?
Maybe look at maybe an option of playing at Cardiff Arms Park permanent. Is that possible? Is that viable?
Maybe that's what they were looking towards, seeing what crowds they could get. And at the moment, I mean, that I know I've mentioned it, and you might be thinking, if you're a Super League fan, 486 isn't a great number of people. But I tell you what, it's 200 up on what they have been getting over the course of the year.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's worthwhile doing, and they've obviously earned a bit more money from it.
But in news regarding rugby league, plenty of players getting injured lately, isn't there? Maybe that's due down to the heat, but one other player that's been ruled out for the rest of the season is Huddersfield's Kyle Wood.
Oh, he's been an outstanding bench player, hasn't he, Kyle Wood, for Huddersfield this term, and he'll be a loss for them, to be honest. He's a useful dummy half player, and let's hope that he's back in and back involved sooner rather than later.
Yeah, hopefully as well, but it's just amazing the number of injuries players are picking up.
I don't know, you know, I mean, they always did pick injuries up. Is it now they just they get highlighted a little bit more and it's easier to notify people about these injuries? They always happened, and maybe we have seen a lot more, shall we say, lower limb injuries. So I'm talking, you know, legs, knees, ankles, etc., etc. And that could be down to the harder grounds, but, you know, what do they expect? We play a contact sport, we play a high collision sport, and, you know, it's one of the inevitabilities of the game, isn't it?
It's a strange one at Widnes. Young Adam Lawson's hardly played for the Vikings this year, but he's 21 years of age. He's asked the club to allow him to go on a sabbatical from his contract.
I wonder what's happened there, to be honest. I mean, I've seen Adam a few times, and he played earlier this season.
He's a big lad.
North Wales Crusaders, and was one of the outstanding players on the field when they played against Lee. So it does surprise me somewhat that he has asked for this leave, but let's hope that it's nothing drastic and that he can get back on his game and come back and do what he does best, which is, you know, playing rugby for Widnes.
One thing we do best is talk rugby league, and we'll be back with another fan of Hooter very soon.
You've been listening to the Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson, only on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and LoveRugbyLeague.com.